Well, I'm going to call this Tested from the Mouth of Hell. And we just now received these dreams all together, which are confirmations of what I've heard, seen, and felt. And they're confirmations of words that we've received in our morning prayer and study meetings of the repeat of history of a betrayal, a crucifixion, and faction against us. We are, I believe, headed for the Garden of Gethsemane, but resurrection comes quickly thereafter. And, of course, revival comes from that. So I'm just asking the brethren to please fast and pray that you overcome this trial that's spoken about here from the mouth of hell and be counted worthy to escape all these things, all right? This is Sandy Shaw's revelation, and she titled it, They Think They've Arrived. Sad to say, there's folks like that, and they haven't. When you feel that way, you haven't. And she received this on the 11th of this month. In a dream, there is a group of people, but I can't see them. Then I said, You are the ones causing division, and not David. Someone was trying to tell me something, and I talked over them, saying, No, that's not true. That's not David. It's not his character. It's not true. Why are you telling me this? You should go talk to David. You're all lying. Well, this is true. The faction spirit always tells them not to talk to David because he doesn't want them hearing scripture or being delivered. And we're commanded to speak to the person that we're accusing and never go to the church first, according to Matthew 18:15-17. And if thy brother sin against thee, go and show him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he hear thee not, take with thee one or two more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three every word may be established. And if he refuse to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he refuse to hear the church also, let him be unto thee as a Gentile and a publican. You know, from the very beginning of the faction, where we had a trial because the people forced the factious into it, they found me totally not guilty and the factious totally guilty. It's been that way ever since. And this, of course, is a rule for if a man sinned, but they didn't find any sin in the first place. It was just accusations and anger, you know. Anyway, Sandy went on to say, this is why you have to be praying 24/7. The dream that the Lord showed me last night is that people are so complacent that they think that they've made it because they know the truth, so they're in the inner circle. You know, people feel that way. If you know the truth, you're in the inner circle, right? You can relax now. But what the Lord told me, she said, is the only circle that's important is between him and us individually. Well, that is so true. You know, you have to live to God. You don't live to compete with other people or to try to usurp authority or such things as that. But demons do that. They want to usurp authority because they want to take over. And when they find somebody that won't let them, well, they fall out, they have their fits, and so on and so forth. So, anyway, she says, during this time, I softly heard in the background the song, Take Me In to the Holy of Holies. Oh, that's an awesome song. I love it. And it's a good prayer, too. You know. It was being sung by a male voice. And what came to me was the voice of the man-child. Take me into the Holy of Holies, right? I started crying and said, we have to do a lot of praying. The biggest lie Satan believes is that he can overcome God. People are believing that they have overcome, and that they have arrived, and that they've made it. Well, that they are above the law of God's word. Many times when your pride gets that bad, you tend to ignore the word and go your own way, right? But this pride makes one bait for faction spirits, because God sends them, according to Matthew 13, to separate these people from his body. Pride cometh before the fall, the Bible says, you know. He also says he sends the angels to gather out of his body these people. And of course, he brings them through chastening to see, you know, who will repent and who won't. And that's why we need to pray for them, honestly, because they really don't know what they're doing. Neither did the factious that crucified Jesus. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They really don't. And so she said, I received by random Isaiah 40 and 20 through 22. He that is too impoverished for such an oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a skillful workman to set up a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth above the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, that spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Well, first of all, people act like God's not there. Or as Proverb or Psalm says, that he won't requite, you know, he won't require it. He won't do anything about it. You know, they act like that. Well, and that's because of the demons inside. Everybody that's got demons acts that way, that they can get away with it, you know. But trusting in oneself or what we believe or what we have done or who we fellowship with instead of the Lord's grace through Christ's sacrifice makes a person an idolater. The biggest idol that people have is self. They want to promote self. They're angry if they can't promote self. And this tempts them, and the devil is able to use them. And then Sandy said, I received in my spirit Ezekiel 33:30-32. And as for thee, son of man, the children of thy people talk of thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but do them not. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their gain. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Now, one of the biggest reasons God turns people over to this, and they're shocked and everybody around them is shocked, and they go about destroying their families and everything else with these demons. One of the biggest reasons is they're just hearers and not doers. They're not bearing fruit, and they're leaven to the people around them. So God sends these spirits to them to take them out. Faction is how he separates the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tares. It's how he does it. This next dream also is a confirmation of this, and this is Eve Brass. She received this on the 15th. I received all these, I believe, on the same day. actually. And a lot of times the Lord does that when he has a message coming from several different gifted people. He puts it together for us, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing and a confirmation, you know. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, right? And, of course, when the dream is doubled, it means it's surely going to come to pass. So, I believe this is speaking about a test that's going to come to pass in UBM. I'm talking about larger UBM, all the way down to smaller UBM, right? And he'd call this harlot exposed and bound. I had this dream on Saturday afternoon. It's taken me a while to try to make sense of it and process it. It looks like a promise from the Father to rid UBM of the harlot spirit. Amen. Praise be to God. That's sanctification. Let me know what you make of it. I'll start out by saying that on the way home from the morning prayer meeting on Saturday, I began to sense a grieving in my spirit. Since I am still learning to discern the spirit, I wasn't quite sure whether this was because of something concerning me or Father allowing me to feel what he felt and prompting me to intercede. I asked him to give me a correction dream to explain this, or if it wasn't concerning me, to give me a dream that would explain it. And I want to say ahead of time that I realize that he is just using me as a type of sanctification and an overcoming saint. And by faith, I claim this for me and my family members. Amen. This is true. We all do. We can't take credit for nothing, right? But in a dream, the Lord uses us as he wishes, right? And she said, I dreamed that I was dressed in an old-time royal blue policeman's uniform. So this is representing God's heavenly law enforcers, right? There was a golden badge on my cap and on my jacket. I was holding a pair of shiny metal handcuffs in my right hand, and there was a billy club on my left hip. I was at the top of the stairs on a balcony at the entrance to a room with a white door. This place I was in was a large log cabin. It belonged to UBM. All right. I had a partner who was a young lady to my left. She was dressed like me, but her badge was silver and she had shoulder-length blonde hair with blondish-brown streak through it. As I opened the door, the first thing I noticed was an open back door. And, of course, we've had revelations of the back door through which the enemy, in John chapter 10, comes up another way, we're told. The shepherd and the sheep come through the door, right? Not the back door, but the enemy comes up through the back door. And they always do things backwards, too, like I was just sharing with Sandy's dream. They go straight to the church instead of going to the person that they're accusing with wild accusations. Anyway, and there was an open back door on the other side of the room. It was daytime, and I could see that the inside balcony wrapped around the outside of the back door, and there were many tall trees in the background. I saw a 13-year-old Asian boy. And as we will see, this is the fruit of the harlot. 13, by the way, is the number of rebellion, and which I believe came in the open back door. Okay? Unseen. I saw a 13-year-old Asian boy dressed in a dark bluish-black t-shirt and gray shorts. He was wearing a dark ball cap that was pulled down low to his eyebrows. He had his hands deep in his pockets and was loitering around the open back door. I then whispered to my partner to go around to the open back door and arrest the boy. As she did this, you know, this can be prayer here. You know, this partner here could be prayer. A person who administers God's law is one who exercises authority through spiritual warfare. And when we exercise that authority, the Lord sees to it that it comes to pass. And as she did this, I looked over towards the left of the door, and in the center of the room was a large velvet couch for reclining. On it was a very obese, naked woman reclining on the couch. And I believe that this represents the harlot spirit which came in the back door, unseen. Let me say this, we're all coming out of Babylon, more or less. And we're coming back to our promised land to rebuild the real true kingdom. And this other stuff that we drag in with, this baggage, that represents this harlot spirit. Okay? She had short, reddish purple hair. She had a large double chin and wore thick makeup. The only thing covering her nakedness was three small clusters of grapes. The grapes were so small that they were the size of BBs. Well, that's very small fruit, and that's to be expected with the harlot. She held a fourth cluster in her hand loosely as she ate it. I realized that the Asian boy was her son, her fruit of rebellion, right? We had been sent there by the father to arrest these two and get them out of the house. As I watched my partner coming up behind the boy, I began approaching the woman. I then grabbed her by the right wrist that held the small grapes and proclaimed, "I'm arresting you in the name of the Father and His kingdom." At that moment, my partner lunged at her son and attempted to put the handcuffs on him, but he was quick and escaped arrest. She then took off after him outside. Well, I think the spirit of rebellion is on the move, you know. You have to catch up to it. Sometimes you don't see it. Sometimes you do. But we must bind it and cast it out, right? Represented by the handcuffs. The woman's wrist was greasy and slippery, and she could only flail her arms to try to keep me from putting the handcuffs on her. She tried to fight me momentarily, but became tired, and I was able to arrest her. As I brought the woman downstairs in handcuffs, there were four overstuffed brown leather couches, all facing one another in a square with coffee tables in front of them. Behind the couches and in front of the large living room windows were two tables. One was a large table, and the other was a small table next to it. I saw my grandmother and my grandfather. And I believe what they represent here, because they're both dead. I believe they represent the great cloud of witnesses that Hebrews speaks about, Paul in Hebrews speaks about, from the early church. He said we're compassed about by this great cloud of witnesses who've gone on before us, right? They were sitting at a large table side by side, and they were facing my direction. The sun shone down on them through the windows as they smiled at me. I knew that they were proud of me for exposing and arresting the harlot in the upper room. And yes, I say they are pleased. Because lots of times the harlot finds a real home in most assemblies. Thank God we spent enough time in the Word that it drives the people out who don't want to repent and be delivered of the harlot. That's a good thing. She said, "I thought to myself, are they really there? I thought they had died a while ago." Yeah. I wonder if anyone else can see them. It was almost like a vision in the dream, because when I saw them, all the other sound from the people in the dream faded out. Yep, that's a great cloud of witnesses. They're watching us all the time, saints. They want to see us overcome. I then looked over at the smaller table next to them and saw a couple sitting there waiting for their food from the kitchen, and watched as Michael Hare came up to their table with two plates of food from the kitchen and a big smile on his face. He was so happy to be serving the food and proud of the quality of it. Of course, we know it's spiritual food, right, that we're talking about here. He set the plates down in front of the couple and gestured with his hand and said, "Enjoy." I knew in the dream that David was back in the kitchen preparing the food for Michael to bring out to the people. Praise you, Father. Lord, bless us to be able to prepare good food. And this was really saying that those who actually assimilate the food into their life will be safe. It's the hearers who are not doers who will be separated from the bride. They're not safe, ever. Because, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And the Lord puts food in front of us. He expects us to act on that and live that. And if we don't, and we spend too much time not doing, not being a doer of the word, then it's time to remove you, because you're condemned that much more for hearing it and not doing something with it. So he has to remove you. Now, there's no problem with the saints manifesting the food of the word that they eat if they walk by faith in God and walk by repentance. Repent and believe. That's the message, and you'll have success, complete success. Suddenly the noise in the dream came back, and I realized that the people sitting on the couches were complaining profusely. This is someone else, not these people that are eating their good food, you know. Were complaining profusely and protesting the arrest of this woman. So the complainers, the critical people here, don't want the harlot arrested. She has their spirit, right? They were disguising their protest by saying that it was inappropriate that I brought her down there and that I should take her back upstairs. They were saying I should have left well enough alone. They were insulted and railing at me and persecuting me for exposing her. Yeah. The factious rebels don't want their harlot spirit revealed. And so it is. You know, I mean, obviously the word is going forth. And out there are many that listen. Some listen because, like the verses that we looked at before, they listen because they like to hear it. They want to know truth, but sometimes it's not for the purpose of living. It's more for the purpose of telling someone else what you know. It's a pride thing. But that's very dangerous, because God can very easily remove such a person who is sitting under the word but not doing the word. And he does. I noticed that the people on the couches had brought their own food from home. And there were also bags of chips and bowls of dip and junk food all over the coffee tables in front of them. Yep, they're not eating the good stuff that they need. Eating, of course, must be assimilating, because you don't want to eat food that just goes right through you. You know, it has to be assimilated into your body, right? And feed your cells and become who you are. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. The harlot was enjoying listening to them persecute me, of course, and all the railing and division that she had caused, and she began throwing back her head and laughing at us, all with a taunting laugh. I just kept my mouth shut, because I knew I couldn't compete with all the complaining and confusion they were all so loud. Well, I submit to you that there are people out there listening that are complaining and griping. And that's why this is here. That's why this word has been given to us. Just then my partner came in and reported that the Asian boy had been too quick for her and had escaped. Uh-oh, rebellion is out there. She was out of breath from the chase, and so I told her to keep the harlot under guard until I could go and arrest her son. And then I woke up. And I asked for a general word for this dream and received actually a word of warning for those not bearing fruit, as we were talking about. Fits very good with the harlot. Isaiah 5, 1 through 7. And her finger was actually on verse 4. Let me sing for my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he digged it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the midst of it, and also hewed out a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Kind of like the harlot, right? The little tiny BB grapes, right? Well, some wild grapes aren't that small, but they're generally not as good as domesticated. And obviously the owner of the vineyard was not pleased with this fruit. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof. Here it is. This is opening people up to demon spirits. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up. I will break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor hoed. But there shall come up briars and thorns. And this is definitely what happens when God turns people over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for justice, but behold, oppression. And for righteousness, behold, a cry. Oppressors. The fruitless people who are turned over to the devil are the oppressors. They are the people who put God's people, true disciples on the cross. They have a useful thing to do. I asked for a word for me in the dream and received actually a word for the bride and the man-child and their oppressors. Psalm 56, 1 through 13, verse 9 being the verse she put her finger on. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up all the day long. He fighting oppresseth me. Mine enemies would swallow me up all the day long, for they are many that fight proudly against me. What time I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can flesh do unto me? All the day long they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps, even as they have waited for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In anger cast down the peoples, O God. Thou numberest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Then shall my enemies turn back in the day that I call. And that's where she put her finger. This I know, that God is for me. In God, I will praise His Word. In the Lord, I will praise His Word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings unto Thee. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Hast Thou not delivered my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Amen. And I asked for a word concerning my partner in this dream, and my finger was on the word Jazer in Jeremiah 48 and 32. Jazer means helped. And what I thought about it was the helper, the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the helper, the Holy Spirit. With more than the weeping of Jazer will I weep for thee, O vine of Sibma. Thy branches passed over the sea, they reached even to the sea of Jazer. Upon thy summer fruits and upon thy vintage, the destroyer is fallen. Well, there it is. The destroyer came upon the summer fruits, right? And there's much reason to weep. You know, a vine represents no backbone for God, no overcoming. As in Ezekiel 17, the vine, the king of Babylon made Israel into a lowly vine so it couldn't lift itself up, you know, which is basically what's happened here, you know, in America. I asked for a word about the Asian boy and received Ezekiel 4 and 5. For I have appointed the years of their iniquity to be unto thee a number of days, even 390 days. So shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. Now, Ezekiel, who went to the throne of God and was anointed, represents the Son of Man. He was called the Son of Man, the man-child, who will bear with the factious rebels again in another crucifixion. History just keeps on repeating, right? Just as Ezekiel was crucified at their hands, and Jeremiah, and Jesus, and David, and on and on and on. This is history repeating. God's MO hasn't changed, and man's hadn't either, right? Now, this next dream was given to Pam Orr on the 16th, and it's called Judgment on the House. In a dream, I found myself in a house, we believe it's UBM, with several rooms. Suddenly, I saw from a distance of 20 or so miles what seemed to be a hole opening up in the earth, spewing sulfur, brimstone, lava, and various gases. I think this represents hell breaking out all over the earth. It was like I would imagine a volcano, except there was no mountain. Well, we're seeing hell spill out on the earth. Think about this. The left wing railing against the right, and the right wing railing against the left, all by the same spirits of hell that the faction has. Just because you're speaking something that is truth does not mean it's not railing. And a bad spirit, right? Angry, critical, so on and so forth. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars based on politics, paranoia, and slander without the two witnesses God said are necessary. Now, the U.S. is trying to provoke Russia into a war because they say, without any evidence whatsoever, that they're manipulating the election process, when we really know who is manipulating the election process. Okay. The wars that we have had were started by the right and the left, because neither recognized the spirit that's from God and the spirit that's from the devil. They don't recognize the difference. And sad to say, Christians don't know the difference either. James 4:1 says, "Whence come wars And whence come fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your pleasures that war in your members? Of course, it's lust that causes people to go to war. And they don't even want to talk to each other, you know. Started, by the way, with our government. So I watched with interest for a while as the yellow, she said in parentheses, representing cowardice or fearfulness. And my thought is, or warning and danger, right? I watched with interest for a while as the yellow clouds and fumes began to roll over the far terrain. In other words, it was out there. It was out there in the world, right? But the clouds rolled in closer. In other words, towards the house of God. So something out there is attacking the house of God. It's already attacked the world, but it's coming towards the house of God, right? Then I realized that this disaster was going to directly impact the house, even from such a distance. Well, I believe that this political faction is strong in the world, but the Christians are taking it in like it's candy. This is coming out of hell, and the spirits going forth out of this worldly election battle are the same ones that we have dealt with in the church. Faction, criticism, hatred, competition, lusts of the flesh. We were warned about not being news junkies recently. It was a good revelation. Feeding on what is slander, criticism, witchcraft, or rebellion of the factious government and the judging and anger that the right wing is displaying against it will open some people up to these spirits. Have you ever noticed when you sit down there and you listen to injustice after injustice and people getting away with it, how you're tempted to be angry about it? And unforgiven, of course, we're told that we're not to judge those that are without. But if you feed on that stuff all day long, what's going to happen to you? What you eat, you are. Right? And the faction have these same spirits. Satan is just coming from a different direction. And those who overcome faction automatically have love, and they automatically keep God's commandments. Yeah. So I looked out a window and could see that a wave of lava had come to rest and harden. It was a gray color. I believe that represents death. Right at the edge of the house. So right on the outside of the house. Well, it's easy to see that this is speaking about hell comes against our house, but it cannot prevail against the kingdom of God. We know that. The Bible says so. It can only take out what does not belong to the kingdom. Matthew 16:19. And I also say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, he was talking about the rock of Christ, because that word rock there is like a boulder, and Peter is like a pebble, you know. So he wasn't talking about Peter. Peter was just one little pebble that makes up the rock, the body of Christ, right? So, upon this rock, that is Christ, the Word of God, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So they rail and they rail, but they can't prevail. And then I said, and the eruptions are coming every 10 minutes. Well, 10 is the number of the law, right, that the apostates break when they go into captivity. The interval between represents how faction tests have come against the body, striking and resting, striking and resting. We've noticed this. We've even had prophecies about it. It's going to happen ever so often. Why? Because it's a lot easier on the church to take out those that are not bearing fruit along the way, little by little, rather than just one big explosion. So, look, it's happening out there. It's happened here before. It's happening out there. You know where you guys are. And we're just trying to help you to be ready, to watch, to do spiritual warfare, to cast it down, etc., right? And I believe this is training to see how long it takes. You know, I mean, why these intervals? And then, you know, is, I believe, is training to see how long it takes for us to stand up and resist by obeying the word. Ephesians 6 and 12, for our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. That's part of the trial. People do wrestle with flesh and blood. But against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Because this is where it all comes from. Man is flesh. The devil uses that flesh. And man is ignorant of how to be any other way, or that he needs to be any other way, or that he'll go to hell if he doesn't change. They're ignorant of these things. They're not as responsible as the Christians are. I don't know how I knew this fact about the 10 minutes, other than I guess it was given to me by Father. This might represent words of knowledge given to his people. By this time, others in the house had taken note of the new landscape, meaning the attack of the hell itself, you know, and were scurrying around as if they did not know what to do. Well, it's just another demonic attack that's arrived to faction the tares from the wheat and the goats from the sheep to make sure you're abiding in Christ by keeping his word. And the Bible says, love your enemies. Resist not him that is evil. That's meaning people, right? Resist the devil. That means spirit, right? This is what we're commanded to do. She said, but I seemed to be sort of a woman on a mission. I went to one room to gather some food and then to another room to get something else. I didn't realize it, but people began to follow me as they would the spirit of the bride. That's what came to me. After gathering what I knew was needed, it was time to head for the room on the far side of the house where my husband was located. As I returned to him, there was a score, 20, or more of people following me. Well, those who follow the spirit of the bride are the bride. They're members of that body, right? Those who followed the harlot were the ones who griped and complained and criticized and slandered and so on and so forth, persecuted. I didn't mind this happening since I knew that my husband would know what to do next. Yep. My husband might have been representing Jesus and the Man-Child Company, who will be navigating God's people. I agree. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And here's Pamela's thought. She said, since the number 20 surfaced twice in this dream, I researched the number 20 on the web. One biblical site stated that the number 20 can signify a perfect or complete waiting period. And my thought is that 20 is the number of redemption, and 20 represents the redeemed people who are the ultimate fruit after waiting this period that she's talking about for the crop to mature or perfect. You know, the Lord has sown his seed in the earth and it is going to bring forth fruit. You can't do anything until it's done. It could be that Father is saying that after a perfect or complete waiting period, and my thought is, the final sanctified body will be here and ready to follow the man-child into the wilderness tribulation. Because Galatians 4 and 4 says, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. There's your man-child right there. Many of us, including myself, have thought it should already be happening. Well, yeah. We're in a hurry, aren't we? But it's as if Father is saying, no, you must wait for my completion. Of what? Of the crop. It has to come to maturity. You can't pick it till it's mature, right? You can't use it until it's mature. It's full of fruit. The fruit is Jesus, right? The fruit is Jesus in you. Also, many of us have waited many years for Father to manifest his ministry through us. The crowd following me represents that perfect or complete, I would say, fruit of the wait that we have undergone. So you have to wait until the end, till the fruit comes to maturity, right? Both the waiting and the fruit are represented by the 20. I asked Father to give me a verse that summarizes what he is saying through this dream. My pencil landed randomly on Isaiah 40 and 25. To whom, then, will you liken me that I should be equal to him, says the Holy One. Yes, we have to let God be God. Many times we're busy being God, or we're busy helping him out, but we have to let him be God. She said, since the rest of that chapter seems to flow from the initial verse, here it is too, verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and see who hath created these that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by name. Sounds interesting. He bringeth their host by number. He calleth them by name. Sounds like Jesus at the sheepfold, right? By the greatness of his might, and for that he is strong in power, not one is lacking. Yep, that's true too. So we know the man-child is coming to the sheepfold and calling forth the sheep of the Father by name, and they're all coming out because they know their master's voice. And another they won't follow. John chapter 10. Why sayest thou, Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and the justice due to me is passed away from my God? But we know many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. It is the Lord who proclaims that he is in control of all these things. He's in control of the crop, he's in control of the sun, he's in control of the dirt, he's in control of the seed. And the text goes on to say, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to him that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. In other words, those who walk in their own strength, their natural strength, are going to fall. Why? Because God doesn't want that. He wants to be your strength. But they that wait for the Lord, that is the one with the strength, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They'll be overcomers, right? The 20 will overcome. 20 represents the overcomers, those that have borne fruit at the proper time, right? They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, Merlene had this revelation on the 10th, and it's a warning about rebellion. While praying in the Spirit for those who would be tested by faction, the Lord gave me in English, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people that walk in a way that is not good, after their own thoughts. Submit to me, give it up. Give everything up and just submit to me. I am all you need. You have need of nothing. I love you. My desire is for you. Come into my arms. You with an unforgiving, with a rebellious heart. I am speaking to you. 1 Samuel 15 and 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as idolatry and teraphim. Amen. Let me just say, brethren, don't receive accusations, criticism, slander against others, either through some person or by spirits in your thoughts. Don't be angry with the lost who rule this world. We're forbidden to judge those who are without the kingdom. Unforgiveness will turn one over to tormentors. Don't become lax considering yourselves above the law of the word, even talking or listening to the factious who have separated from us contrary to the word. God said, give them no greeting, lest you become partaker in their evil works. I've seen people disobey this, and tragically. I mean, because God will whip you if you don't obey the rules concerning them. In other words, unforgiving, impatient, angry, factious, slander, etc. Do not listen to anyone who does this ever so slyly, because some people are very sly about it. They'll smile at you, you know, they'll manipulate you. But when you do it, you're going to get taken out. I'm just telling you. Tell them to go speak to the person they're accusing, as we're commanded to in Matthew 18 and 15. They usually choose to slander anonymously in the darkness. John 3 and 19, this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. And Psalm 11 and 2 says, for lo, the wicked bend the bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. And verse 5 says, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he will rain snares, fire and brimstone, burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loveth righteousness. The upright shall behold his face. Proverbs 6 and 16 says, there are six things which the Lord hateth, yea, seven which are an abomination unto him. And then in verse 19 it says, a false witness that uttereth lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. 1 Timothy 5:19 says, against an elder receive not an accusation except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. That's witnesses of sin. Not just things you don't like. Rebellious people don't like anything. Titus 3 and 10 says, a factious man after a first and second admonition refuse, knowing that such a one is perverted, and sinneth, being self-condemned. Romans 16 and 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly. And by their smooth and fair speech, they beguile the hearts of the innocent. That's a sad thing, but it does happen. God knows, it humbles people. And the innocent aren't going to stay in captivity for long. At least not as long as the ones who are willfully disobedient and rebellious. Some people are just ignorant. They don't know the traps that the devil sets. They should study their Bible a little more, maybe, but they don't know. In 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lusts of defilement and despise dominion. Daring, self-will, they tremble not to rail at dignities. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, bring not a railing judgment against them before the Lord. But these, as creatures without reason, born mere animals, to be taken and destroyed, railing in matters whereof they are ignorant, shall in their destroying surely be destroyed. Suffering wrong as the hire of wrongdoing, men that count it pleasure to revel in the daytime, spots and blemishes, reveling in their deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and they cannot cease from sin, enticing unsteadfast souls, having a heart exercised in covetousness, children of cursing, forsaking the right way, they went astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the hire of wrongdoing. Amen. Well, Father, We thank you, Lord, for your word today. Bless us to humble ourselves. Bless us to pray for the factious, because they're in captivity. They need to be released. We ask you, Lord, to forgive them and heal their hearts and set them free in the name of Jesus. Amen.